Welcome to Control Shift Lead, a lighthearted and honest look into the monthly mindset of school leaders, brought to you by AWB Education. Sit back and listen while we talk about planning, pivoting, hallway hilarity, and heartfelt moments. This is truly admin life, unfiltered. Now here are your hosts, Jim Wichman and Adam Bush.
Well, welcome. I'm Adam Bush, got Jim Wichman here with me today, and we're going to talk a little bit about this end of the school year. We've got a few days left, depending on where you're at in your calendar and where your end of school happens, but no, we got a few days, and we kind of start talking about what we do with those days. It's either counting the days to the end of the school year, or it's
you just get a few less days to make an impact on the students. And so it's kind of like the different perspective is what I wish I looked at it with that.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's cool. And I think that's for all of us that are in this field of education, we know we get past, if you have a spring break or an Easter break, and you're kind of right in that area, the sprint to the finish is real. We talk about
that
all the time.
It's real.
It is absolutely real. But there are some strategies for us to be able to, you know, to try to get to that point. And I think it always starts with kids. I mean, really what that experience for our kids is. I think of kids all the time. And you were telling me a story about, when we were talking about this before, you were telling me a story about kids that you've had at the end of the school year. Can you think of any of those off the top of your head that just resonate with you?
Well, first of all, you know, there's excitement going into the school year. We all know it. We see it. We always felt it.
Yeah.
And when we're leading up to it, we've got teachers that want to get just a little bit more knowledge into the students. We got students, the weather in Iowa really messes with this a little bit. It gives us beautiful sunshine, so we think we made it.
Uh-huh.
Then it snows or rains or something else afterwards where the temperature drops. But one thing that's consistent is that it's an exciting time at the end of the year for everyone.
Yeah.
For some, they see a break. Others, maybe not so exciting because they know that summer break isn't pools and playing baseball and riding bikes. It's taking care of siblings.
Yep.
Whatever the case might be.
Yep.
What was a memory you had as a, let's think about a 12-year-old.
Uh-huh.
As your 12-year-old self.
Well, I'll tell you what, the 12-year-old Adam Bush was probably just not wait. I couldn't wait to get summer break started because I was going to the pool. I was going to go play baseball and had the luxury of being an only child. So I didn't have the kids stuff that I needed to worry about. It was, you know, in a small town too. I mean, it was the sun's up, I'm gone. I come back by supper time. Parents didn't really care where I was. And we were just being kids at that age level.
Were they checking in with you on your cell phone?
Absolutely not. You know?
Yeah.
I'm sure I was just always where I was supposed to be.
Right.
But yeah, that is just it. I mean, it was fun for me, but I also didn't have a whole lot of responsibilities.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, life would be great if we didn't have any responsibilities.
Right, that would be
all fun, right?
It would be great.
But that was kind of what life was like for me.
You know, I was sitting there thinking about, and when I have my memories of summer, I do have a lot of positive memories of playing some ball and then so forth. But my last year as a principal, there was a student that he was in my office a lot.
Sure.
He invited himself into my office. The teachers invited him into my office. I invited him into my office. Yeah. He was there a lot.
Yeah. Good friends.
Good friends. Yeah. Very respectful to me.
Not good.
But he never wanted to be at school.
Yeah.
And I remember the last day at school, the buses left. We had our big celebrations. The buses left and he was the only one at school.
Mm-hmm.
He did not want to leave the school. And we got talking about that a little bit more. And it's like, we had something in common. See, not everybody gets to kind of live the summer like you had mentioned.
Yeah.
So same with him. So summer vacation with him was, now I got to take care of babysitting the next day.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever the case is, which reminded me of what my summer was like. So my summer, the day one of summer for me was taking care of my brother, making sure he's fed, clothed, and everything else, making sure my sister was doing her thing.
Yeah.
And fed him lunch and so forth. So that was pretty much it. Now, with that, I would sneak out and play with friends and so forth, but that's really what it is. And I, too, didn't have that cell phone to check in and so forth, but we played. I know that some of my best memories were with playing with wiffle ball with my brother.
Sure.
We were the Cubs, too, and kind of got along with that.
Yeah.
But the point is, it's not always exciting. And so you could talk to any educator, and we know that before break, we start to see the behaviors of kids start spiking up, mostly because of insecurity of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Food insecurity, maybe, or just the predictability of what the day is like and so forth.
Yeah, school's real safe for a lot of our kids. That's what we want it to be, right? We want it to be the safe spot, predictable. I know where my place is within the school. I know I can expect what school's going to give for me. And then all of a sudden that, like I just said, my parents weren't worried about me. It wasn't like they weren't involved or weren't, part of my life by all means, but not all of our kids even have that aspect. I mean, it literally is on your own. Good luck to you. That is scary.
It is. It's scary. It's actually scarier now than what I would think, and more than anything
Absolutely.
else.
Yeah.
So we have to take, I know that the last month of school is, it's again, it's exciting. It's also a lot of work. I mean, we think about it, principals.
True.
What were you saying? Some of the things we have to do, evaluations and
It's all, yeah. I mean, you've got to wrap up all your professional growth stuff. So you've got your evaluations that you probably, I know I always had, oh, I'm going to get things done by this. Come on, it never happens. It never happens. Life happens. So I'm still trying to get those things finished up and get those last ones wrapped up and do them the right way. I don't want it just to be a checkbox.
Right on, right
You
on.
know, the person that I'm working with, I'm there to help them grow. And if I don't, I'm just cheating them if I don't do it the right way.
Preach.
So you've got that, and you've got, I'm sure you have people that are either retiring or leaving your school building or district, and it's time to honor them. It's time to give them some reward for all of that work that they've been doing. That takes planning. It's not just, if it's going to be done well, it's not just an off the
Right
cuff
on.
type of thing. And so yeah, there's a lot of that stuff that just happens at the end of the year.
Let's take that one that you talked about, like celebrating the people who have done their service and so
Yeah.
forth with that.
Yeah.
And that is it. It's a critical moment. And if we do it right, otherwise superficial, like you were
Sure.
mentioning. What I also think is important, and we sometimes forget this because we want to do that one more thing, one more thing, one more email, one more test, one more whatever it is. We forget to stop and think about what life was like in August
Yeah.
to the growth we have now, where we always are trying to get one more thing in there for, or learning piece, or
Yeah.
one more task done, or whatever it is for our kids, because we want to, teachers are working hard to make sure that the kids have every piece of knowledge they possibly can in that grade level. But sometimes we forget to even take a moment to think about the little things. The kid that couldn't tie his shoes at the beginning of the year can tie his shoes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Reading. I mean, think about your kids when they were read for the first time. It was like, holy cow, we got to go tell grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
We don't celebrate that enough because we think of, we're modest people as teachers, that this is just what we do.
Yeah.
And I think about May is a time that we need to really celebrate not just each other, but the learning that our kids have done over the past 8, 9 months within that, with
Yep.
that. Have you any celebrations that you've that kind of stick
Yes.
out in your
Yeah.
mind?
So we've both been doing this a while now, and I've been at a handful of districts, and everybody does it a little bit differently. I think about a previous district that I was at that, and it was kind of the rite of passage if you had been there long enough. So someone who had really put a lot of time in, we're talking maybe 30 years at this district, and it was retirement time. And it's kind of, I laughed the first times. I thought, oh, that's kind of, really ageism. But we would all chip in some money and buy them a rocking chair. And so we would have the rocking chair out there for them to get as their parting gift. But it was engraved in with the school name and all of this. It was a really neat gift. I did. I like you. That was my first reaction, like, really? But the whole symbolism of the fact that they had earned that. They had earned the chair, but really the respect that came with the chair. It wasn't just a certificate. It wasn't
A
just a
pendant.
pat on the back. Yeah, a pendant. It was more personal than that. The other part I've seen too with when districts take the time, it's one thing to do at a large district. Okay. And I'm at a large district right now, and we throw a pretty big celebration. And it's a community, sponsored event. There's some community partners that work with that, and they provide some beverages and things and stuff that go along with that. And that's really cool. That is really neat to get a chance to celebrate all together because we're all part of the large team. But when you do that back down at the building level, and that principal, or if it's the associate principal that maybe has a better personal connection with them, but that person that really talks about the outside of school stuff that makes that a human, right? That means more. And that's the stuff you remember. I remember leaving a former district where, I mean, I feel like I'm a fairly tough guy, but I'm a ball in my eyes out because I could tell the person that was talking about me in that moment meant it.
Yeah.
And everything that they were saying was really, not only was it true and personal, but it was from the heart. And I knew it. I could tell. That makes me feel really, really special. It makes me feel really honored to have been part of their mission as well.
So you said, you mentioned the human. One of the things that I kind of grasp on to that is, mm-hmm. we know, we see people as a title of a parent, title of a student, title of a teacher, title as a principal. But sometimes we have to see them as a human first. Like, absolutely. Actually, all the time we have to see them, yeah, as a human first.
We forget that too often.
And when it comes to celebrating people, we can do the surface level stuff and it's great and it's nice, like you were mentioning it. But if we make that time, not take, but make the time to do a little personal touch on it, it says, I see you, you matter, and you have value.
Yeah.
So when we think about the end of the school year, you see the people and you have the conversations for it. I know as an educator, and I know I don't always show it. You mentioned about bawling or anything.
Yeah.
Gosh, if you go to any school I've ever been a part of, they'll all tell you that I was the biggest crier in the whole school. So yeah,
that's okay.
I'm
yeah.
a passionate guy. Yeah, right.
Okay.
But when we stop and we sit down and we give people presents and we sit there and say, we did it and we did it together. I really appreciate what you did here. Or when a parent says to me, hey, Jim, you know, when my kid was at the middle school and you were there and you did these little video things in COVID, I want you to know that that really helped our family because we saw you as a person.
Yeah. Not just the principal.
Not just to the principal saying, hey, we got this, we got this. Because a lot of times I'd say to them, we don't got this.
Yeah.
We don't have this at all. We are struggling. We're trying to navigate this together.
Uh-huh.
And every time they come back to me, even when my, you know, through show choir, parents have been wonderful. They would make the time to just, it's a 30-second thing and it feels uncomfortable for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I can promise you when I'm walking away, the only thing I remember is that they made the time to share that with me.
Sure.
So those little notes, parents, that you might put out there or colleagues that you give to each other,
uh-huh.
it goes a long way.
Huge.
Long way.
You were mentioning, so as you're talking, it made me think of something. So, and because you're super creative, Jim, you always have been. I mean, that's probably not even enough of a compliment to what you're really capable of. But we're talking about, like, I was just mentioning celebrating staff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But there's more to it than that.
There is.
And I know as you were talking about the videos, it brought up some memories of like, no, there's some other stuff there. So celebrating staff is one thing that's fine. But what about kids? How do we celebrate our students? Because at the end of the day, yeah, we're doing a lot of work, but they are too.
Mm-hmm.
What's some stuff that you've done that is worth sharing for that?
So students are kind of like staff. They forget about the growth that they've had.
Absolutely.
And so what I've seen in classrooms is seeing the teacher taking pieces of writing that they had at the beginning of the year and what they did at the end of the year and have some celebrations like that. And it's really cool.
Sure.
So it's those little moments. And kids are proud about seeing their growth. What we really want people to have when they leave the school is the same amount of excitement when they're coming in. They want to leave with energy.
We understand first day energy on the last day.
First day, last day.
That's a great idea.
So while I love to say these are my ideas, I just need someone to put them into place. I can't even say they're my ideas. I can't even fib on that.
Yeah, sure.
I remember, I would say to assistant principal at the time, she is amazing. I would say, hey, we want to have something with the staff. I want to do something with the staff. Get them together.
Yeah.
And she'd put together something like Amazing Race, put them in the team, all these things. I mean, the teachers would get behind planning this. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I got to tell you, go back to the students. And I don't know what it's called or how it's organized or anything, but as a principal, I sit back and I watch. This is amazing. The assistant period principal, Kathleen, we both know.
Mm-hmm.
She organized this.
Rock star.
Yeah, right. I mean, she's just amazing.
Absolutely.
She put together this configuration of things where she had some help with the teachers and so forth, but everybody had a homeroom. So kids would come in, they'd start off in their homeroom. They'd do some final celebrations within their group. So starting the small. Then we explained the rules to them. And it was kind of like a Survivor Amazing Race. I'm not really sure what you kind of put it into.
Uh-huh.
But kids were excited all morning long. It was like half day. So they were doing, and they'd be, if they were in the hallway without their shirt or whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
We had docked a point. We had parent volunteers. We had former employees coming back.
Oh, that's
Policemen
cool.
were in there supervising all this, and they saw the faces of kids smiling.
Yeah.
Then we would have lunch together as a grade level of team, whatever the case
Sure,
is.
sure.
And then we ended the day by signing yearbooks.
Yeah.
So think about that
Yeah.
last day of school. It wasn't doing one more test.
Yeah.
It
Wasn't
was
just cleaning out your locker.
Or wiping down the desk.
Yeah.
Heck,
Yeah.
we did that the day before because we didn't want them to bring anything. And all they had to do was celebrate each other as humans. In a time when we're like, push, 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 just putting the brakes on and saying, kids, look at this. We're social beings. Let's be social and celebrate.
Yeah.
I mean, she put together some amazing things, and it just gave the kids the opportunity to be kids.
Well, we were just talking about, I mean, we just said it, you know, you want kids to be as excited in that last day as the first. I mean, think about what you're just describing right there. The kids that are leaving your building. So you've been in a middle school. So there's another building after yours in our system, multiple buildings, transitions, all that good stuff, right? I don't know if you call it transitions always good, but we made it through.
We worked through it.
Yes. So those kids leaving onto the next building, think about that, that lasting image that they have from being there is just amazing. It's awesome. It's a great, even if some parts of the year maybe hadn't been their favorite, boy, that's a good way to leave. That's a good way to help.
Hugs, high fives. Tears.
And the ones that are coming back next year again, A, they've already got a great jump start into the following year, and they come in with that energy, and they also know what's at the end again, that
yes.
there's going to be something similar to look forward to.
Yes.
Yes. And that's awesome. That's really cool. That's a really neat idea.
But we forget those little moments, and we forget that we are coming together, like you said, the humans first.
Yeah.
If we forget that moment, then we really kind of forget what our purpose is. If you ask parents, or anybody really, what's your memory of school? A lot of them are social interactions that really don't have anything to do with 2+2.
Yep.
Or reading.
Yeah. That'd be mine.
Social,
I can tell you that right now. That's, that, my memories of school are not that great math lesson.
Right.
You know, it's the relationship piece.
Well, I remember that great math teacher.
Exactly. It's the teacher that made a huge difference in me because they reached me. They were able to get to what I needed them to do for me.
Right.
And they were just that person. They were my person.
Right.
That's what I remember. And that's what your kids are going to remember as well.
Yeah, it's exactly right. They're going to remember that moment that, that we provided for them in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
But there's a lot of things that go into the end of the school year too. We know that. So we've talked about celebrating the kids.
Yeah.
We talk about celebrating the staff. And we can't do that enough. But it's also like, what is it that goes through the mind of a principal that last day of school? What were some of the things, is it when you were an assistant principal and you had all those little details because you weren't operating in just that current month, May, you were operating. Tell me more about that.
Well, I mean, you're talking, let's think about scheduling, which we've already been doing forever, right? But it's still not done because you still got those last little pieces that you've got to put together. And if I'm at an elementary school right now, we've got that dreaded class list reveal day that's coming at some point in time, right? And that it's not just as simply as dividing up 25 kids here, 25. There's purpose
right.
to all of that.
Right.
Secondary level, we're still doing that. And I've got kids maybe that just finally went on a college visit. And now they're coming back saying, you know what? I've changed my mind. Now I want to do this. And so these elective courses mean a big difference to me. Or I may have had one of my teachers that is really, really good at something, found a different job someplace else, and now we're going to replay. So there's always that scheduling piece that just never ends, but also the planning of like, okay, how are we going to address it? I'm going to lose my counselors, most likely. They're not always 12-month employees in most districts. And so at some point in time here in the very near future, my sounding board for changes or ideas, they're gone. Now it is on me to finish up because at the end of the day, that deadline is going to come when
kids have to be in classes.
Have to be in class. Have to have that stuff ready to go. So, yeah, I mean, I think the scheduling piece is a huge part and being very thoughtful in how you plan that. If you're at a larger district, like I've had the luxury to be the last few years, I typically have another colleague that I can bounce ideas off of, and especially if we're looking at something somewhat innovative when it comes to a schedule.
You know, when talking about schedule, it's intriguing me. So I've been elementary principal for a short period of time, then mostly at secondary level with middle school. One tweak in the schedule has an aftershock.
It's huge.
And I remember, so I could look it through a lens as a parent. I'm like, why can't he just But once I looked at it through the lens of a scheduler, which I am, that is not my forte.
Yeah.
But once you do, I saw ripple effects.
Yeah.
And it sounds simple, but it never is.
And see, some of us think that's fun.
Yeah, no.
It's fun to see what the ripple effect does and does that all. No. You know, as long as you're okay with like, yeah, that was a bad idea.
Yeah,
let's pull out well, the let's start over again.
If you have that skill set.
That's kind of true. But it is, and it's something that, whether we like it or not, it is part of the way schools operate. A lot of times we have that conversation of the schedule shouldn't dictate how we serve kids. And that sounds great on paper. And I love that as my core philosophy.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I have teachers for this block of time. Mm-hmm. And at a secondary level, you typically have something related to some sort of a period schedule.
Yep.
And we have all of these things that the state says we have to get in and the people who have to teach that.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we like it or not, the schedule is going to dictate some things.
So if I'm a parent and I'm saying this, I get my kids scheduled, how come they can't get in classes? What the tricky part is, and like you said, the larger districts, you have more flexibility, compared to smaller school districts that once you start putting your kids in a schedule and you try to tweak them and change them and everything, there really isn't a perfect schedule most of the time.
No.
And we try our best to navigate what that is. One of the things I always think it's important for people to understand it when you're putting together a schedule as an administrator, we kind of have an idea how that works.
Sure.
If you're a parent at home,
sure,
you have no clue how that works. Yep. And it's scary when you're like talking about your child and I'm trying to be the number one advocate for that child. And I don't know how to navigate this as much as possible. I remember for our first kid, we were trying to probably like walk our hand through the schedule. We would probably try to do that, even educators.
Yeah, absolutely.
For my third kid, 10 years different, I'm not even sure what classes he's taking.
That's right.
And look, he's doing just fine. So look at the more it doesn't matter because we have great counselors in schools and we have great administrators.
And you trust them to do their job.
We trust them, but we have to teach our kid how to be an advocate for himself.
Sure.
Help him write that email, help him go some problem solve within that, which is once the child figures out how to do it, they're going to, I always go to Mario Brothers. You know, when they're playing Mario, kids fail numerous times.
All the time.
All the time.
Yep.
But once they kind of get the gist of it, they can navigate to the next level.
That's good analogy.
And the next level.
Yeah.
If we do it for them, they're not going to know how to get to the next level. So we're helping them navigate it and tell them, I believe in you. Like I believe in you. There's just some ways that you can help navigate that.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of putting it on there. And I think as administrators, we have to understand that parents are doing the best they know how.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
If you haven't heard me say it, I think my kids will support this. I'm a lot better principal. I was a lot better principal than parent. There's books on being a principal.
I'm fully guilty of that too. That's,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think we forget that because we're stressed with the adjustments. And then a parent says, well, we got to understand they are supposed to be the number one advocate within that. Yep. Yeah.
My favorite was the time that my wife called me out on something. She said that was in an email. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she pulls it up on her phone. I sent the email. And I didn't know what was really necessarily from a parent lens.
Oh.
I knew it from a principal lens.
Oh, really? You sent the email?
I sent the email.
And she sent it with your name on it.
No, it was my email. That's the sad part. It was my email and my piece. But I was thinking of it totally from the administrator lens.
Yes.
She was looking at it from the parent lens. Like, oh my gosh, that's what I sent to my poor parents out there. So needless to say, there was another email.
You follow up on that one?
Yeah, it was a follow-up email.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's funny. That's good.
But it's a lens we forget sometimes that we need to look through. So we talked about scheduling.
We did.
We talk about actually the setting up the structure of the schedule. We talk about getting the students in there. I really think it's beneficial when the counselors put out, here's my email. If you fill like a Google form, if you have any sway, that again, it gives you a chance as the scheduler to jump in there if you have a time.
Uh-huh.
Or when they come back and start working, they can just get after it and dig in and go.
Yeah. I do like the form piece because I did this for a lot of years. I don't as much anymore. I do for a group that I work with now, very small group. So it's not nearly as big of a deal. But there are times where you would, you know, if you wait until to the end, you hope you got it pretty darn right.
Right.
Okay. But if I can get some feedback now, you'll see themes. You'll have where all of a sudden I'm getting a whole lot of people asking for this. Like, wait a minute, maybe I've got a couple classes that are conflicting here, especially at like the high school level.
Yep.
I might have this one section of an AP course and one section of this AP course. And this is really interesting to that same group of kids. But if I've got them at the same spot, maybe I anticipated it, maybe I didn't. But like you said, that information that's coming in throughout the course of the summer,
We
okay.
probably should talk about what form we're talking about. I
Right.
just didn't think about that. So like counselors will put
Oh,
out an email
sure.
to all the students if you have any adjustments or questions in
Yes, good point.
scheduling.
Good point.
Fill out this form. That form pops back into a spreadsheet. Everybody gets to see it. Then you get to see your themes.
As a scheduler, you can see what
Yeah.
you can see what your stakeholders are giving you in feedback, which is huge. Because again, if we all got it perfect the first time, we're not sitting around listening to a podcast. We're traveling around the world selling our secrets.
So that's actually another th point to bring up is someone asked me, I don't know if I've quite got this principal thing figured out. So my point in with that question is, if you're asking that question, you got it figured out, because like you said, we are all humans trying to navigate it, so we are susceptible to mistakes. But we're going to find them, we're going to resolve it, and we're going to do the best we can. And as administrators, I think that the best thing we can do is be honest with ourselves, be honest with our colleagues, and be honest with our parents. Hey, we see the problem, we got to navigate it. We're not completely sure yet how to do that, but trust me, we're going to work on
Correct.
that.
And I think people, like I do some basketball refereeing, and one of the things I learned from a veteran official years ago was said, "You miss a call, just admit it." I tell you what, coach was like, "You blew it. Yeah, I blew that call." Oh, okay. Like then you remember that it's a human at that point. And sometimes as an administrator, there's times where I'm like,
Yeah.
yeah, you know what? I could have done
We
differently
should
there.
probably have a podcast talked about administrator mistakes. I mean,
Oh.
I'm just sitting there thinking about one that I was about 30 minutes of groveling to a parent, and all it was some sorry. And at the end of
Yeah.
the conversation, she said thank you. And then we
Yeah.
were done.
Yeah.
But it was a bad mistake. It was a silly mistake. Anyway,
Yeah.
that's probably another
It
podcast another
happens. That's
day.
true. That's true. So one of the other things I was thinking as we were talking about, we're in the month of May. Okay. And again, the end of the school year is rapidly approaching. This is also the time, though, where I know on my checklist of May things to do, I'm already starting to think about summer, really into the planning piece, because that is that moment where people away from the building. You know, I always say the joke, like, if it wasn't for parents and teachers and kids, this job would be great,
Yeah.
right? Be really easy. That's
Be
the
really
time.
boring
It'd
too,
be
but
really
yeah.
boring. That's true. Probably wouldn't get a paycheck for that one, I'm guessing. But you know, but that summer moment of time that we have is where we have that ability to reset focus, reset mission, vision, all of those things, what we want to try to accomplish. Think back to your days when you were doing that. And yes, we have all of this other stuff we were just talking about. How do you start planning for what summer is going? Because you're going to have very limited time with with the people you need to have there, whether it's a leadership team or whoever that's going to be. So you got to get it right.
You got to get it right.
You got to get it right.
Early in my career, I would say, oh, I don't have to do that till May, right? People are already planning and so forth. So, to be honest with you, I surround myself with great people who help me keep that structure in place. I had a counselor that taught me some strategy, a lot of strategies, kind of see that. And that's one thing I would point out is principals don't always have it figured out. The best thing I
Even if we
did
make it
was,
look like
yeah,
it.
if you want to look at, the best thing I did was hire great people, and I had great people around me along the way. So setting up the time and the structure with that, but that planning for that summer retreat with your building leadership team or whatever the case might be, that probably is starting in January. And we're putting the
Ideally,
face,
sure.
ideally it
Yeah,
should.
absolutely. Yeah.
So we have some kind of vibe so that when everybody leaves in May, whether it be the leadership team or even the teachers coming back, they know what August is. It's not coming back in August thinking, wonder what book Jim read this summer so that we're gonna do. It is
Sure.
business as normal, no
Sure.
surprises. So with the building leadership team, it is how do we maximize our time so that when teachers come back, it's business as normal.
Yeah, pick up where we left off.
Pick up where we left off in the
Yeah,
growth. And
that's sure.
we always had the something in a standards mindset. And standards in mindset isn't necessarily a what is the academics and so forth. The standards is what is the what we want to have happen, whether it be the what we want the students to learn, how the students to behave. How are we going to measure that? What does it look like? And
How
then
do we
what are we
know?
going to do? The four is four questions, really, is what it
Four.
is. So that's kind of where our operating focus is there. And so then the behavior is we want every student to come to school and have at least one adult at that school that they trust. Through their words, not our words. You know
We
what I
can't
mean?
force
We
that.
can't force that.
Absolutely
And
not.
so that's really what it is. So putting into that, we kind of talk about our focuses, we set a date, and we kind of map it out. So I used a couple of support staff from the building leadership team, whether it be instructional coaches, some of the teachers that volunteered, and we kind of plan it out what's going to be more meaningful and manageable.
Mm-hmm.
I've had days where it's been me planning it all out, and it is just like, yeah. And I've had days where everybody plans it out. It's been pretty dang good.
Yeah, sure.
With
yeah.
that,
yeah,
the conversation. How about you?
Well, I you bring up a good point. If we're waiting until now, we've waited too long. Mm-hmm. That's very true. And if I have, okay, I can still get caught up. I can still put some meaning to that. I think an area that maybe some of us might get caught up in is that we're just so worried about the end of the year. Like, I'm just going to do that first. Just let me focus on that first. I'd love to say we have the luxury to be able to do that, but that's just not true. That's just not true. I mean, a good part of this week for me and my current daily gig is way ahead to next year, maybe even to a year past that, trying to set that foundation. And I'm now in a district office role, so that's really my role, is that overarching piece and that overarching theme. But even in the building role, for the building piece that I do lead, we're trying to wrap up, but we're already all thinking about what next year could be, because we've learned a lot from this year. We've learned the pieces that we want to try to tweak, and we want to try to get better. We don't necessarily want to have to wait. So if we can pilot a little bit of that right now, if we can figure out if that's going to be where we truly want to go. But again, I think the idea of that end, that last day of whether it's kids or without kids and it's PD, whatever that's going to be at the end of the year, I like that concept of it. We're just going to move on and pick it right back.
No more start, stop.
Yeah, that's huge. And I think that should be the goal we want to try to get to, that it's just ongoing. It's that continued growth.
No, spiraling up there. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. I think that's really neat.
So when we think about the last days of school, I think back to what's been the coolest moments for me on all the last days.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been two, I think, that would stand out the most.
Okay.
On the second to last day of school, kids come down this main hallway of the last school I was at. And I would stand there. And I would probably get, no joke, 900 high fives, handshakes, hugs, or fist bumps.
Yep.
And seeing everybody say, see you tomorrow, Mr. Wichman, or see, those are cool memories that I've had as, as a principal. Second is signing yearbooks. And I try to personalize every one of them, and I feel honored that they're there. And then you see the people that don't always have a yearbook. So we make sure
they have a yearbook.
They have a yearbook.
That's good. Yeah.
So if I was a parent, I would say, well, we do. Maybe I buy two yearbooks to make sure that one person gets a yearbook.
Sure, absolutely.
Because I want everybody to walk away, like you had said, walk away from that day so thankful that they got to be a part of the school where I was a principal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are just precious memories that'll never leave my brain because of how gratifying it was, because you could see in their voice, you could hear in their voices, see in their faces.
Yeah, it meant something.
It meant something.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's how about you?
Well, the one that, as you were talking about that, it's not anything that, I mean, this is a real subtle one, but it has always stuck with me. You were talking before about having kids in your office the last part of the year, right? And especially at the high school level, if you've got juniors and seniors, there are some where we are literally dragging them across the finish line, right?
Yeah.
And I can think of one particular kid that the struggle to get to the finish line was, I mean, that was really hard. It was really difficult. And probably the last 2 weeks of school were pretty much in my office. And it was, let's get work done. Teachers were amazing. They'd pop down during a planned time and try to work with his kids because they wanted this kid to get to the end. We get to the last day of school. Unfortunately, he had not made progress to be able to walk at graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Graduation was about a week before the last day of school.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't made that mark yet, but he didn't quit. He kept going. So about four more days of school was what he needed, and he used all 4 days of school. And as the other kids were leaving and everyone's high-fiving, cleaning out the lockers in a high school, that's, you know, that's its own disaster when you're cleaning out lockers.
Yep.
And I'm doing my parking lot duty, and kids are driving away and all of that stuff. And then I walk back, and here's this kid sitting in my office, and he's done. He'd been done for a little while. But he wanted to wait because I had been too busy. He hadn't had a chance to shake my hand.
Oh, gosh.
And say thank you for just caring. So first kid to graduate,
From his.
From high school. First kid in his family to graduate from high school. Parents were both high school dropouts. Grandparents were both high school dropouts or never even
Just with,
remotely attended,
yeah.
right? And life was different back then. He was the first person in his family to graduate high school. And it was a trek to get to graduation. But that handshake?
So you're telling me a kid that a lot of people say he's lazy, a lot of
Correct.
people say he didn't care,
Correct.
all these things because he wasn't being compliant doing his schoolwork, stayed after on his own to say thank you.
The best part about it is because he works in this area, I've seen him a handful of times since that day, and he goes out of his way to come up and say, Miss Whoosh, hey. I've met his wife. I've met his kids. They're probably, I'm trying to think now, I bet he's probably got one. Oh, well, that one's got to be in school, getting old. So, yeah, he's got one in school. I met him when they were teeny, teeny, tiny, right? Because he was so proud and wanted them to know me. And it wasn't like I did a lot. I just didn't give up on him.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
He saw you as a human because you saw him as a human.
Yep.
Crazy.
So that's my last day of school memory that I can remember, and it's always going to stick with me, but it also just reminds me there'll be another one. There's going to be another kid that
Just
just
never
does that.
know. So maybe so you're to the viewers out there, the listeners, and wherever the case is out there, maybe it's time to just pause and reflect in May. What was your favorite last day? What was that moment that you had as your the last day of school that mattered? And then share it with someone. Don't keep it inside. Share it with someone. Because I never knew this about you, Adam. That was a really cool story. Yeah. I mean, you got me teary. I remember I'm the sappy one in the group here. So we got to make
Doing
sure
my
guys
best.
got doing
Doing
its
my
best.
best.
Because it kind of goes to what I would say, what I believe in wholeheartedly as I move on is we work really hard. We forget that administration is only as lonely as we want it to be.
It's very true.
So no matter what, under any circumstances, you're never alone and that we matter. And we cannot ever forget that more than anything else. It's been great. I love this conversation. We,
Absolutely.
starting off, we weren't really sure how this was
Yeah.
going to go, and we kind of flowed into
Yeah.
some things that really mattered. I'd be interested in hearing more from the viewers out there
Absolutely.
about what were some of those memories you had, or what are some other things that in May that you have to navigate that we probably forgot
Yeah.
within that. But it's has been great. So I appreciate this time.
Yeah, same thing. And again, like Jim was saying, I mean, share with your colleagues. This is a good opportunity for you to reflect with each other about this struggle. It's a struggle, but it's a great opportunity. And I think having that opportunity to work through that with your colleagues, it's going to be worth your time. And again, I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear, drop your suggestions in the chat or drop your stories in the chat as well, on social media. Connect with us here. Look for us again. We'll come back again in June with another episode here. We can talk about the next phases as we continue to move through this journey that is leading a school, leading a district, or certainly anything within school leadership.
Thank you for joining us on Control Shift Lead, brought to you by AWB Education. Please check back next month for another lighthearted and honest look into the monthly mindset of school leaders. Please take a moment to like, comment, rate, or review our show. We would love to hear the feedback and your stories of school leadership. If you want to find out more about Jim and Adam's work, please check out the links in the show notes to get connected. Otherwise, thank you for doing the work that only a few are strong enough to do. We will talk with you again next time.